Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no-bullshit world. Because who doesn't want to believe that humans will inhabit the Earth for thousands of years to come? Or perhaps not, if you've seen the latest blockbuster starring Matthew McConaughey, Interstellar. Anybody see that over the weekend? Just opened. Today's movie Monday, and I'll be reviewing the film and giving it my 1, 2, or 3 thumbs up. Or somewhere in between. We'll check that out a little bit later. And we're also introducing radio advertising and personalized shout-outs today. You know, if anybody wants to go and get the word out about their company, or maybe just say thank you or congrats to someone in your life. Yeah, our listening audience, check it out on my website, richtola.com. There's a new tab up there called Advertise With Us. And I also put out an email this morning to my email list. If you want to get on that, you could email me as well at info@richtola.com. But it's on Twitter. If anybody saw it out there, check it out. Pretty cool. Yeah, and also check out my Rich Picks, the best of the best. You know, we have 50 shows in the book now. This is 51. So check that out. I think there's about 20 of those. And there's live music. You know, all the music we've had on Tola Talks the past 10 weeks or so. Every one of the shows, there's really cool stuff there. Musical guests. Love it. I love the music that we've been playing. And speaking of music, this week, tomorrow in particular, is Gun Hill Royals will be in the house performing live acoustically. You know, we switch Acoustic Fridays to Acoustic Tuesdays, but special treat for you this Friday, we got Moses Stone in the house. He's from The Voice. I mean, wait till you hear this guy, hip-hop rapper. I mean, I really, really like his music here. He's going to be up on Friday. Going to be playing a couple tunes off his latest EP. And yeah, that should be pretty cool. And if you want, hit me up with some questions. You call-ins. I know you guys are shy out there, but you know the number. It's on the page there if you're logged in. If not, it's 818-602-4929. I'll pick up if I can. Should be able to. Any questions, or maybe you watch the movie. Get your opinion of it. Anyway, let's get started with On This Day in History. Like to get started with that because, you know, you got to honor the past. Talked about that with my buddy Bill Margold, who was in last week. Check his show out in the archives. But in 1775, U.S. Congress formed the U.S. Marine Corps. I like that. Tomorrow being Veterans Day, you know, no doubt we got to give thanks to everyone who fought for us and all of the soldiers or veterans out in the world today. Yeah, we're going to be, well, that's tomorrow, but kind of good news on the anniversary of the Marine Corps. Yeah, 1938, Nobel Peace Prize for Literature was awarded to Pearl S. Buck for The Good Earth. You know, that was one of the first books I think I ever read. I do remember that book. It's a best-selling novel in 1931 and 1932. Also received the Pulitzer Prize in 32. And I remember the novel dramatizes life in a Chinese village before World War I. It also helped prepare Americans of the 1930s to consider Chinese as allies in the coming war in Japan. That was a powerful book, all about duty to the family. Yeah, if you've never read it, you definitely should read it. I do remember it. In 1969, who remembers Big Bird and Elmo? Sesame Street premiered on PBS television. Yeah, 1969, I was 6 years old, so I do remember Big Bird. Yeah, I think I was getting a little old at that time. Probably doing my push-ups and sit-ups at the old man working me out. So just a little bit of Sesame Street. And in 1991, I do remember this. This guy was my era. Remember Bernie Kosar? He ended his NFL record of 308 passes without an interception. Yeah, he was playing for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, that record was since broken by Tom Brady in 2010. On December 26th, he broke the record. Another great quarterback out there. But, you know, some cool stuff to throw back to, right? Yeah, on that note, let's go around the globe for the latest news. What are we calling this first one? from soup to nuts. Nah, we're not talking about chicken soup and peanuts here, folks. We're talking about Pizza Hut. What's happening with Pizza Hut? It's rebooting itself for a new generation of pizza eaters. I like that. New generation of pizza. What's the difference? I mean, pizza's pizza, right? Well, not exactly. Following 2 years of disappointing sales, as consumers are going for even more exotic flavors and personalized options. Well, to me, I remember when the Hawaiian pizza came out with the pineapples, right? Well, the world's largest pizza chain announced plans to turn upside down almost every facet of its identity. I like that. Turn upside down. They got dozens of new flavors, including 11 new pizza recipes. One of them is the 7-Alarm Fire. Definitely going to check that one out. 10 new crust flavors. Yeah, a couple of them new ones are called Salted Pretzel and Honey Sriracha. That's going to be a hot one. 6 new sauces from Parmesan, Buffalo. They're adding a bunch more. 5 new toppings. 4 new flavor-packed drizzles. A new logo. New uniforms. And a new pizza box. Wow. Talk about an overhaul. Yeah, they're more than doubling its available ingredients to all 6,300 U.S. locations beginning on November 19th. Now, it's the biggest change they've made so far, right, in the history of the company. You might ask yourself, is it too much, too quick? Well, that's what the experts are asking. Yeah, maybe, says these restaurant industry specialists. Here's a guy named Darren Tristano at Paisano over there at Technomic. He says, it would appear that the brand that has lost touch with the consumer is trying to change too much overnight. I don't know about that, but he suggests a more gradual approach, right? Not to confuse the change traditional customers. And, you know, it's not the first time this has been done. Well, it was done successfully by Domino's in 2009. That was 5 years ago. They put up with plenty of public grief. But, hey, turned out to be a big hit. So, what are they calling this one? Pizza Hut's dubbing this the flavor of now. They come up with all these kind of wacky things. All my buddies at Kellogg are probably coming up with that. And there's even a possibility of advertising during the Super Bowl, which it hasn't done in 15 years, which, by the way, is on February 1st, if you didn't know it. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. The chief marketing officer, Kerry Walsh, says, we're looking this change. Well, I mean, this is a big deal. Okay, she said, this change deserves a big statement. Well, you want to make a big statement over there, Kerry. Why don't you come on Tola Talks, advertise for Pizza Hut? Who knows? But anyway, I think that'd be pretty cool. See them in the Super Bowl. Why not? What are they paying? I don't know, $1 trillion a minute now. So they're putting a lot of money and a lot of effort into it. Can't wait to see those new uniforms. So good luck to Pizza Hut and their big change. All right, let's move on. Calling this going postal. I like that phrase. We used to use that phrase. You guys know that, right? When anybody kind of goes nutso from the postal world. Well, hackers recently broke into a U.S. Postal Service computer system and stole personalized data, including Social Security numbers for 750,000 employees and retirees. Ouch. If you work for the Postal Service, these hackers have gone postal. The breach also compromised the data of 2.9 million Postal Service customers. I wonder if I'm one of those. U.S. Postal Service acknowledged the breach, but they didn't provide many details. All they did was say that they worked on it the entire weekend. Well, that's good to know that they worked on it. And as for the customers, hackers now have the names, home addresses, phone numbers, and emails of these customers. Like I said, who knows if I'm one of those. As for the employees and retirees, Social Security numbers, birth dates, addresses, employee codes used in the U.S. Postal Service payroll system. That's a lot of stuff, huh? Why? Why do these hackers do this? Well, they didn't really give any reasons why, but cha-ching, it's all about money, right? What are they doing? They're getting all this information to either steal from you or maybe spam you, emails, addresses, direct mail. It's kind of interesting. I met a hacker. Real big-time hacker. I was about, when did I live in that building? Let's see. 2010. Yeah, I met this kid. I say kid. He was 19 years old. His father was in jail for being like a big-time hacker. Way to follow in your father's suit. This guy knows who he is. I don't know if he's listening, but young guy who was paid a lot of money to be a world-class hacker. And oftentimes he said they paid him money just so that he could cause like raise havoc, not so much to steal the identities and information, but it's more for affecting these companies. So kind of interesting. Competitors paid him. All sorts of people paid him. This guy was known. This guy was a known hacker, one of these, you know, genius kids. And I don't know whatever happened to the kid, but I do know he was making some, he's making a lot of money. It's like amazing. I'm like, this kid, I mean, I don't know. Didn't go to college or anything. He was just a techno geek from the time he was a little boy and somewhere or another through the context of his father. You know, talk about connections. So anyway, as far as these hackers go, well, the U.S. Postal Service said the intrusion is limited in scope and all operations of the Postal Service are functioning normally. I like that. Set you back a little bit and maybe get some data, but everything's functioning normally. So, hey, move on, especially as the holidays are coming in. Don't worry about it. And, yeah, there's all sorts of identity theft going on out there today, right? On the internet, everything with the cyber. I mean, that's why cyber's could be tricky. We'll get to that when we talk about the movie. It's kind of cool. All right, let's move on. Another story here. I like this one. It's called Leaving the Nest. Man, what are we talking about here? It's a nice little space story here. Rosetta, the comet-chasing mothership, and her daughter, Philae. Yeah, that's how it's... Let me spell that for you. P-H-I-L-A-E. I'm calling it Philae. Like fish filet, huh? And the that's a landing craft. They spent the past 10 years together swinging by the Earth and Mars on a cosmic road trip over billions of miles. Yeah, in 2 days' time, it's going to be November 12th here, the Philae is due to touch down on the surface of a comet hurtling towards the sun, and it will snap some pictures of the mothership, Rosetta, after it breaks its bonds and embarks on a 7-hour descent to the surface of Comet 67P. I think it's got like a long name there, but they abbreviate it to 67P. Whatever that means. Rosetta's already the first probe to orbit a comet. And if successful, Philae will become the first spacecraft to land on one. Man, what's it take to land on a comet? Well, this is a consortium. It's led by the European Space Agency, ESA, and NASA. Everybody knows NASA from the U.S. These scientists hope to learn more about the composition of comets and how they interact with the solar wind. Spending billions of dollars on how comets interact with the solar wind. I'm not really sure what all this data does do ultimately to society, but they're spending it. It's an extraordinary to get a ringside seat. Yeah, that's what the engineer from ESA, Lawrence O'Rourke, was saying. Yeah, you want to get a front row seat, I guess. He also said there's a lot of risks, and he puts their chances of success at 70%. Hey, buddy, that's pretty good. 7 out of 10 shot? I mean, baseball players would kill for that average. But I'm not sure, but he said the problem is all sorts of craters, crevices, boulders, gravelly areas. And no kidding, it's a comet, right? That there's a lot of luck involved. Yeah, there's a lot of luck involved in anything, waking up in the morning. But no, hey, there's definitely a lot of luck in sending this thing down. You know, when you watch these films, you kind of wonder, you know, how close are they getting to reality? Well, in this case, the comet's gravity is so weak, I mean, the comet probably doesn't have much gravity, that the danger to Philae is that it could bounce off, right? So what did they do? They designed it to grip like a limpet, and it has harpoons for feet. 2 of the 3 feet kind of like harpoon in and screw down, right? And they said it takes about 15 seconds, but there is a 30-minute delay because I think it's 310 million miles away from the Earth, so... They're not going to, you know, they got a little bit of delay. And the good news is that the Philae, you know, once they recharge its batteries, it could last up to 3 months, 3-month lifespan. So definitely going to get some info, right? I mean, there's a lot of info coming out of 3 months worth of data. But again, a lot of this stuff just baffles the mind. Now they spend billions of dollars up in space and you got people starving here on Earth. So, I don't know. But speaking of comets, we're going to talk about bikes, and we're calling this faster than the speed of light. What are we talking about? How about this fearless Frenchman? Takes a Frenchman to be fearless. Well, anybody can be fearless. It was broken the record for the fastest bicycle in the world, zooming along at 207 miles per hour. Not 270, 207 miles per hour, thanks to some rocket power. Man, what's this guy doing? Francois Gissy, G-I-S-S-Y. Francois Gisi made his world record run at a racetrack in let me see if I can get to my French here. Le Castellet in the south of France on Friday. There's a racetrack over there. Yeah, I watched this. You go check it out. There's a couple videos out there. They're in French speaking, but no worries. You get the gist of it. No pun intended. GC, gist. He reached the speed in 4.8 seconds after traveling 802 feet. Yeah, the bike is from Exotic Thermo Engineering. It's designed by his buddy, his friend, Arnold Narasher, who powered this bike with a highly concentrated hydrogen peroxide. I mean, no kidding. I mean, that's what you kind of wash out your wounds with, right? Sterilizing your thumb when you cut it on that can of tuna you opened up. I don't know, but so fast this thing was that it left a Ferrari F430. I mean, this thing was blazing, which a Ferrari F430 goes from 0 to 62 miles an hour in 4 seconds. He left it in the dust. Really a cloud of rocket smoke. Okay, what's next for our buddy GC? What's next? He says, if we could find some serious sponsors, then we would like to build the monstrous bicycle, which will be called Spine Crusher, to go from 0 to 249 miles an hour in 2 seconds. Hey, what's at 249? What about 250 or maybe 270? Well, who knows? Maybe our boys from the French world over there, the French Legion, whatever they're doing over there, maybe they'll get the sponsorship. I don't really know. But the good news is, speaking of sponsors, what about Tola Talks? What's happening? Let's give a thanks to our sponsors. Yeah, you guys should know this, right? We're sponsored, got some sponsors going on today, so check it out. Dress for Success. Dress for Success is an international non-for-profit organization that promotes the economic independence of disadvantaged women by providing professional attire, a network of support, and the career development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. Because it's all about helping our fellow mankind, or for dressforsuccess.org, it's womankind, by helping those less fortunate. Just like West Coast director Rena De Assis and the folks in Los Angeles have done by serving more than 4,000 clients by partnering with over 160 community agencies since opening in 2009. Yeah, check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's at DFS West. She's on the West Coast here. Love the West Coast. And my Tola Talks interview with Rena on October 29th. Great interview. You should check that out. Really good one. In the archives, right? latalkradio.com/Tola Talks or on my website. Get all that. Or come to their Shop for Success LA event on November 20th through the 23rd in Westwood Village. That's right near UCLA. You guys know that. At 1000 Westwood Boulevard. Yes, yeah, so they're going to have this event from the 20th to the 23rd. 100% of all proceeds to benefit the charity. And I will be there. I'm going to be going on Saturday. So hope to see you there Saturday, right? 1000 Westwood Boulevard. Dress for Success's event called Shop for Success LA. All the money goes to the charity. So check it out. Great organization. Looking forward to helping them out and giving back. Okay, what about our buddy John Francis of John Francis Beauty? Well, you want to look and feel your best with one of the most sought-after editorial and celebrity stylists in the business? Then look no further. John Francis, founder and chief visionary of John Francis Beauty, is a creative force of nature with an eye for defining the latest styles. His creative vision, combined with his talents for enhancing the natural beauty of his clients, such as Hayden Panettiere, Hilary Duff, Gerard Butler, and Sting, just to name a few, have made him quite the industry favorite. You can visit his website at johnfrancisbeauty.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram at John Francis Beauty. Yeah, definitely check him out, all right, both men and women, because you don't have to be a celebrity to experience the best. And check out my Tola Talks interview with John Francis on September 8th. This is a fascinating guy, folks, with a passion for style as well as hair. Not to mention, he's a family man who's into surfing and motocross and all sorts of cool stuff. Love this guy. So check him out. Check out the archives. Check out the show. That was a good one. Okay, on that note, let's give out some awards here. Love giving out. The Get Your Shit Together Award. Everybody knows. Did a Get Your Shit Together podcast. 30 episodes of that one. You can find that on the website as well. A little tab up there called podcast. Kind of simple. I hope you guys like the site. We made some really cool changes to it. Simplified it. easy to use, and you could always contact us. Like I said, the info address is there. So here we go. What are we calling this one? All right, backseat bovine. There's a total interesting kind of weirdo story here. It takes place in Riverside, California, right near us here. We're in Sherman Oaks, right, Los Angeles area. Well, the police, check it out, have arrested a suspected calf rustler after the animal was found in the backseat of his car. Okay, all right, our buddy over here, Cesar Zamora Santana, 31-year-old jackass, was spotted loitering outside an auto shop. Nah, I don't know if he was loitering, he was looking for a buyer. Okay, when a police officer approached his car and saw a calf lying in the back seat. I mean, what the hell's a calf doing in the back seat? Santana told police he bought the animal for $200 at a gas station. Now, it just so happened that he happened to stumble upon a calf for sale for $200 at a gas station. That's kind of weird. Animal control officers found the bovine's ear identification tag had been forcibly removed. Ouch. It's a good thing they don't feel a lot of pain. Well, I don't know. Maybe they do feel pain. But the good news is the authorities turned the 150-pound female calf, well, 150 pounds maybe. Maybe that's, good size for this guy. Who the hell knows what he's got in his mind? Over to a farmer to be fostered while they try to find its owner. You know, I'm kind of wondering, what was this guy's intention? Now, the bad news is, for Santana, that is, he's arrested on suspicion. I love when they say suspicion of transporting livestock without proof of ownership or identifying information. So there you go, folks. Our Get Your Shit Together award goes to the jackass who purchased for 200 bills a calf, 150 pounds, pretty good looking, all black, I mean, kind of cute, and puts it in his back seat. What's this guy thinking? All right, listen, you got to get your shit together. That's illegal. It's probably dangerous. I mean, there's diseases that maybe could be transported. Who knows what you're doing? Got in the back seat. What are you going to do? Take it home and make it a pet? You got to take it home and eat it? I mean, what's this guy thinking? But whatever he's thinking, he's got to get his shit together because you can't be doing that there, buddy. Can't be doing that. So, hey, think again, you bovine biatch. On that note, here we go. Let's get into it. Movie Mondays, Interstellar. Went to see this yesterday. Yeah, it's Christopher Nolan. Everybody knows him, director. Big time. Jonathan Nolan, his brother, they co-wrote it. It's produced by Legendary Pictures and distributed by Paramount Pictures. It's a heavyweight here, guys. This is a big budget film, $165 million, which, by the way, was the same amount of money it cost to produce Big Hero 6, which, by the way, beat out Interstellar for the opening weekend. Big Hero did $56 million, and numbers came out this morning for Interstellar, which debuted on 11/5/14, November 5th. It did 47.5 over the weekend and a total gross of just under 50 million. It's done 49,700 gross receipts. You know, they tried to hit the 50 million. They said it was going to be 50 to 52. Kind of fell a little bit short, but here's what the website says it is. A group of explorers use a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations on human space travel and conquer an interstellar endeavor. Well, let me shorten that for you. It's a story about saving mankind and what it means to save your family from extinction. I mean, that's what I'm calling it. Even if it means deserting them for some far-off space odyssey that's unlikely to bring you back. What are we talking about? Cooper. My man Coop is Matthew McConaughey. Let me tell you. This is a great cast, I will say. Cool story. I mean, he leads the cast, but we'll get into it. Cool story. Rather complex topics that may have some moviegoers a bit confused. Yeah, I had a friend of mine confused, but get to that. And who else was there? Anne Hathaway. She plays the beautiful Amelia Brand. Yeah, I like that name, Amelia. Like Amelia Earhart, maybe? Bright, sweet, idealistic, a true believer in all things that her father says, who's played by the great Michael Caine, Professor Brand. Yeah, and Cooper, our boy Coop, he's got a daughter So it's got a father-daughter thing going on, and the adorable girl, Mackenzie Foy, she's 10 years old. Well, she plays a 10-year-old. She's from, you might remember her, the Twilight Sagas 1 and 2, back in 2011, The Conjuring. And then she grows up. Wow, she's played by Jessica Chastain. I mean, she does an amazing job. I love her in this film. I definitely do. So what are we talking about? Interstellar, right? Intriguing, heartfelt, thought-provoking. Matthew McConaughey, like I said, Anne Hathaway. You got Matt Damon in there. Let me tell you, man, he's a star, without a doubt. Matt Damon, Casey Affleck. I really like Casey, man. I'm a big fan of his. Man, you know, he's just, you know, interesting character to me. You know, these guys don't have any huge roles, but remember, there's no small roles ever. And Michael Caine, he plays the astrophysicist, the father of Anne Hathaway, right? And what about Jessica Chastain? Man, she plays the daughter that grows up. John Lithgow, he's Donald, the father-in-law. Well, yeah, he's the father-in-law to Matthew McConaughey's wife who passed away. So he's a widower. He's a widower. He's an an astronaut. Yeah, kind of an astronaut with some issues. Cool story. It's not predictable. No. Talks about time travel, space travel, black holes, collapsed stars, the rings of Saturn, right? Talks about gravitational pulls. It's like advanced physics. I was a big math guy back in the day. I remember physics. And a little bit of fantasy, or maybe a lot of bit of fantasy. But let me tell you, McConaughey's awesome. I mean, I'll get to the critics later. They kind of say he overacts, but I don't think so. I mean, I think he's developed into one of the great actors of our generation. He's in my generation, no doubt. And same with Anne Hathaway. I mean, she does a great job. They beat up on her a little bit, but I think she does a great job. And you want more from her. Yeah, you do. And you want to see more of them together. So I will say it's lacking in the romance department. It's kind of there, but it doesn't come to fruition. No pun intended. Yeah, it's a little bit complex, right? With the formulas and a little bit of the techno gibberish. Yeah, but it doesn't really hinder the viewing experience because what you need to know is already communicated, right? It communicates through the actors, the character development, the feelings, the actions. That's what I like. That's what I like about a film. I mean, you know what's going on. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, like I said, my one friend who told me, asked this guy, he said, well, it was too complicated for him. I'm like, for you? I mean, the G-rated Dr. Seuss movie's too complicated. I mean, it's not that complicated. You know, exercise your brain. If anybody went to school, high school, you should know all about this. You know how many movies are out there with space travel and all sorts of things going on? But there is. You got to kind of stay focused on it, but pay attention. Expand your horizons. Yeah, for sure you could do that. Well, it starts off strong. I like this. It really does starts off strong. I'm impressed about the value of family and love. Because now you're seeing, you're seeing McConaughey here, who's a farmer, corn farmer. Kind of reminds me back in the day of the Field of Dreams. But he's this kind of miscast, corn guy. But he's doing what he's got to do. Yeah, not to mention, it's all like the supernatural, all right? And he's got a past that starts to reveal itself. Doesn't fully unravel with McConaughey, but as time goes on, you start to understand more about this guy because he's got demons. I mean, who doesn't have demons, right? I love that when you see a character that's got some issues. His young daughter's great. Yeah, I like the father-in-law. He kind of, is there. John, he does a great job. I mean, it's intense. No doubt. It starts off intense. The world's dying, as is human beings and their chance for survival unless everybody leaves the planet. Now I've seen that concept a few times before. Everybody has to leave the planet. Now, where the hell are you going to go? Well, that's the call to action. You know, with films, there's always a call to action. What's the call? A little hokey, but it works, right? Like I said, acting is superb. And I don't think Matthew McConaughey overacts. I don't think so at all. Just think the guy's awesome, right? And the cinematography, the cinematography's good, but in most of Christopher Nolan's movies, it's not about the cinematography. It's about the real-life characters, the feelings, how he develops them. We're talking about space and gravity, and no, it's not like the movie Gravity. That had some amazing cinematography. They didn't use any green screens here. I watched a film, a video clip of Nolan getting interviewed, and they didn't use any green screen. You guys know what green screens are, right? Where the actors sort of act in front of a screen and they project visuals up again. They could create any background, New York City, you know, the woods, whatever. So it makes it real. But he purposely did not use green screens. He built all these sets. I mean, made it like a real life experience, even inside the spaceships. Kind of cool. I mean, that kind of worked for me without the fancy, you know, scenes behind it. But yeah, there's a lot at stake here. It's apocalyptic, but there's hope. That's kind of cool. There's hope woven in, and there's a little bit of deceit woven into this film too, which makes sense. Because everybody has their own agenda, right? You could say that about anything in life. Well, like I said, I'm a big fan of Casey Affleck. I think he does a great job. Not enough of him on screen. Jessica, same with her. Not enough. But Hathaway carries it. And Hathaway, yeah, she's a sweetheart. And kind of wondering, though, Christopher, why isn't a romance in there? Or maybe you're going to tell me you're leaving that for the sequel. Maybe. Definitely could use a sequel. Or maybe there just wasn't room for it in this film. It's a long movie, but it doesn't feel like it. Although, I will say, this is the second time this has happened to me when I've been reviewing a film for the show. I had to go to the bathroom, and we're talking probably 45 minutes before the end of the movie. And I'm like, no, I can make it. I'm not going because I didn't want to leave. You know, sometimes you do. You run out, you get back in. This was not a film I wanted to leave. So I said I could hang in there, make it to the end, which I did. But it's definitely one that's heartfelt several times over. You're feeling it and you don't want to leave. Does it leave it open for a sequel? Absolutely. I mean, is there going to be a sequel? Who knows? I would say probably not. They definitely could have one. And like I said, probably should have one to maybe, clear some things up or move the romance into it. We won't give away the ending, but we won't get carried away at all. But why not, right? Everything's about sequels and creating more money-making opportunities for studios. But hey, life and death, how we view ourselves on this planet, how we take things for granted, that's all in there. Live each day with passion and vigor and always believe anything is possible. That's in there too. You definitely want to try to realize God-given talent. Jessica did. His daughter in the movie, she does. So that's kind of cool. Not a super happy movie. In fact, you might say it's sad from beginning to end. You're not crying the blues over it, but there's definitely conflict. There's definitely danger. Like I said, Matt Damon does a pretty cool job with his character. I like his character. There's no blood or guts, but there is death. Yeah, whenever there's a space film, there's got to be death. And I really like that concept of aging in space, or shall we say, not aging in space. We talked about 20 ways to be 20 years younger last week. You want to get younger? Go out into space, right? Is this plausible? I think it is. Is it likely? No, it's not likely. I never talking anything apocalyptics. I mean, who the hell knows what's going to happen down the road? But like I said, the actors did all the work. It's not really about the visual cinematography. Feelings are real. And it's an excellent film. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm going to be going to see this thing again, probably sooner than later. Let me tell you what the ratings were. Well, I mean, the user ratings, I got this off of IMDb, says there were 55,800 males and 7,000 females that voted. And most of them are between 18 and 29. So you get a lot of guys looking at this movie. That's interesting. They rated it 9.1 out of 10. Big ratings here. That's the biggest number we've seen so far. Like I said, a lot of techno babble. The characters tell the story. It's not really, it's not really about kind of what's it feel like to be in space. As more so it is kind of the emotional drama, mystical aspect, the spiritual enlightenment here. I like, check this out. There's some funny moments. Computer system, it's called TARS, T-A-R-S. You got to see how they mocked up these computers here. And yeah, there's kind of cool some literature in there too. If you're interested in poetry by Dylan Thomas, everybody know, I remember this from Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Do not go gently into that good night. You know, when he's being tested. Well, rage against the dying of the night. I mean, that's a pretty cool poem that is rehashed here numerous times. Might get a little tired of that. But key words to make note of for this movie: apocalyptic, intense, complex, yet it's a simple theme. Leave or die. It's heartfelt and it's entertaining. All right. That said, what are we doing over here? Tola Talks, what am I giving it? I'll tell you what. I will say, I mean, I'm giving it 2.5 thumbs, guys. It's a stellar film. I mean, I'm giving it 2.5 thumbs. I really, really enjoyed the acting in this film. I liked what it was about. And yeah, I'm ranking it up there. Giving it 2.5. Definitely worth it. Probably see it again. It's a long film, so hunker down. Be cool to see it in the theater first if you want to wait for it to come out on the second time around. But yeah. Check it out, Interstellar. There you go. And on that note. All right, guys, what do you think we should do here? Could answer some questions with what's your ATA? Or I can get into the 3 best 30-minute treks in LA. Matter of fact, I'm going to do both. Why not? I can. It's my show, Tola Talks. Now, these I know quite well. If you come to LA, which is an amazing city, and it's kind of cool today. I know you guys are getting slammed on the east and the Midwest. We talked about that last week with temperatures going down in the 30s and 40s. We're getting like 70s here, which is kind of chilly. Still got my t-shirt on, a la Mark Zuckerberg. And I love these. These are my favorite. These are the best. I'll argue these with anybody in LA. You could come at me with anything you like. But if you want to do a 30-minute trek, and I say trek, it's not really a trail. One of them's not a trail. They're not really trails. Anybody can do these. A little bit of challenge involved, perhaps, but 30 minutes, start to finish. That's it. Here's what you do. I'm picking 3 different areas. My number one is Runyon Canyon. Everybody knows Runyon Canyon. 2001 Fuller Street. It's Fuller West. It's to see the Hollywood sign, Griffith Observatory. I mean, without a doubt, it's the best little loop you could do, I think, in the world. I've been everywhere. Cocoa Head, I've been, forget about it, San Francisco. Runyon Canyon is 1.65 miles, right? You got to go up to the right and down the left side. The right side's about a half a mile. It goes 500 feet straight up, so you're climbing. And if you want to go to the very, very top, take it all away, that's more than 30 minutes. That's like 1,000 feet. But go to the point where the Hollywood sign is and then loop around. Dogs are off leash, so remember, Runyon Canyon. They do some yoga there, too. But that's my favorite of all time. And just for the record, I ran that sucker. I broke 15 minutes. So if you could run up and down in 15, you could do it in 30. Challenging, straight up. You're going to love it, though. Definitely get over there if you're visiting LA, number one. 30-minute trek, Runyon Canyon. Number two, here's one that you might surprise you with, Silver Lake Reservoir. Wow. You guys ever been around that? Well, to be exact, it's 2.18 miles, 2.2 miles, call it. I love that. Great. It's relatively flat. There's maybe one incline. I kind of go same thing. You want to do reverse clockwise, you know, go the other way. And that's like I said, that's an amazing little 30 minutes. You could do that in 30 minutes. You could jog that. Easy peasy. Love that. And you should see, it's this reservoir kind of set in a residential area. You guys know it? Silver Lake Reservoir. Dogs are on leash, which is good. They have some dog areas, dog runs there. So you could definitely bring your dog and go for a walk around. It's beautiful. I love it. It's kind of like you're not even sure where you are, but beautiful reservoir. Check it out in Silver Lake neighborhood. Runyon is in Hollywood. You guys know that, right near, really right near, not too far from Grauman's and all that's going on over there in Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah, love it. Love it. Okay, here we go. What's number 3? Why is it number 3? I'll tell you why it's number 3. Because I live there. It's in Burbank. Now, What are you talking about? You're like, what's in Burbank? No, we're not talking about the Verdugo Mountains trails. I mean, there's a lot of trails up there. That mountain's over 3,000 feet tall. I've been up to the top of that. But this one, here's what you do. Go to Burbank. Burbank's kind of rocking. They do a cool thing in the wintertime here for the holidays. They got the tree up, right? Go see the movies there. But check it out. From San Fernando and Olive. South San Fernando, you come over the bridge, you know, you kind of get into Burbank downtown, you got to cross the 5, you got to get over the highway. A couple of places you could do it on Olive. Take Olive and just park. There's a Holiday Inn right there. But get on the corner of Olive and San Fernando. All you got to do is walk straight up. It's a mile. You're going to hit the mountain, really. It's called Sunset Canyon. It's the name of the road there. And you'll check it out, the clubhouse. It's called Clubhouse Drive, and there's a wrought iron fence there, like an archway. It was built in 1921. So I love this. I do this probably 3-4 times a week. You just walk straight up. It's 1 mile. It's pretty steep here. And then you come down a mile. Easy peasy running down. The jog's a piece of cake. So you want to put in 30 minutes? You want to stay on the sidewalk? You don't really like the dirt? You know, Runyon Canyons, you got some dirt. Right. Silver Lake Reservoir, you got some dirt. Burbank, there's no dirt, just sidewalk. Take a cruise. Now, why is it that I'm an expert, guys? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you where I've lived. I've lived in Westwood, where Dress for Success is having their event. I lived in Mid-City, lived in Hollywood, lived in Santa Monica, lived in Venice, North Hollywood. I even spent a week in Valencia, lived in Sherman Oaks, Burbank. I even worked in downtown LA and practiced a lot of yoga in the South Bay, right? You know that, Manhattan Beach. El Porto, yeah, my psychics in Long Beach, and a buddy of mine lived in Malibu. So by my calculations, I've done everything. I've done all the trails. You want to get a quick 30 minutes in, you happen to be in Burbank, you know what to do. You happen to be in Hollywood, you know what to do. Echo Lake, Silver Lake, whatever, go check it out, the reservoir. I love it. I mean, love all this kind of stuff. Got to kick the bricks, folks. It's that time of year. No excuses. You come here, 72 degrees or whatever, can't beat it. You know, you got to do it. Got to stay fit. Do whatever you can. But these 30-minute tricks, I love them because that's my thing here. You know, 30 minutes equals 2% of your life. I like to hit the weights for 2%, do that cardio for 2%, and then, you know, you got to get your yoga in there if you can't get your yoga in. But, hey, if you could do a 30-minute morning, 30-minute night, you're a superstar. You are a superstar, and you won't have to travel out to space to, set your clock back. It's easy peasy. But I want to get to one of these. What's your AT? I got to get to one question. This came in off a gal. Jenny in Florida wrote me this. And how funny is this? Last night there, Jenny, I watched the movie About Last Night. You guys remember that from 1986? With Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. When Rob Lowe, I mean, I can't believe how many times this guy had his clothes off. I mean, he needs to hit the weights for sure. But yeah, back in the day, he was the pretty boy, Rob Lowe. And anyway, she had a question. She says, is it okay to sleep with a guy on the first night and have him still respect you? I like that one. Well, I'm going to give you a simple answer. Yes. I believe that. Well, you could say, yeah, maybe, but no. I say, yes, you can. Okay? Check out that movie About Last Night. It's kind of cool. I hook up on the first night. A lot of hooking up. That was my day. Graduated in 1985 and 1986. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that going on. I guess it is in any generation, but yeah, you definitely can hook up with someone. I mean, it's not something I'm going to recommend that you do, right? But let's just say you go out, there's a connection, you totally connect with the person, you're mature. You know, if you're immature, you better think twice about it. But if it's there and it happens, it's okay, right? The guy's not going to think anything less of you. And if he is, get rid of that guy. Forget it. If that guy's just a player anyway, he's looking to hit and run, doesn't matter. He doesn't respect anybody. He doesn't respect himself. So he definitely can respect you. You sleep with a guy on the first night. That's like, it's not the end of the world. You know, a lot of women, they get all messed up over that and they carry that with them. And then they kind of have that energy. And then it's a self, perpetuating energy where the guy gets rid of you. I've dated a couple gals in my lifetime where it was that good, where you just connect. I mean, you definitely can respect them. They're respecting you. Listen, don't have a double standard here, guys and girls, you know, just because a girl wants to hook up. So what? What? That's okay that they want. You know, again, you want a mature adult as a kid, underage. Of course, you don't be doing that shit. But hey, if you're mature, you know who you are, you're confident, you know what you're doing, you're not taking some Rufus drug, somebody's not, you know, slipping you something, be smart about it. Always use protection, for sure. Condoms, hello. You know, don't be a dope. Like, recently I know a girl in her 30s who said sex with guys. She's like checking for, she was pregnant. I'm like, what the hell? That was in the movie, right? She checks to see if she's pregnant. Don't want to be doing that, folks. You know, you got to keep it real. You got to protect yourself. But it's okay, Jenny. I mean, again, you don't want to make a habit of this. Every guy you want to hook up, but that's not what that's about. Because you got to respect yourself. But again, if it's done in the right, I guess, situation, then it's okay. Guy's not going to think any less of you. And like I said, if he does, get rid of the bozo. Because, hey, there's always, it's a friend of mine told me this, right? Check this out. I was back in New York City. Little story for you. It's working out on the Upper East Side. We're talking late 90s, right? And, well, I don't even know how old I was in the late 90s, but whatever the case may be. This was a gal. He was about 40 years old. Now, I typically didn't go after the older ladies at the time, but this gal was very intriguing. She used to get on the treadmill, and I used to see her in the gym. She was built like a brick shithouse. I was totally into her. And I kept trying to hit on her. Like, I hit on, kind of did the, you know, the dance, danced around a little bit, kind of became friendly. Couple weeks later, all the while, you know, I had the objective was just to sleep with her. That was where I was. So she says to me, finally, she says to me, hey, honey, she goes, let me tell you what my daddy told me. She goes, guys are like buses. There's always another one coming. So there's always another one coming. That's for sure, right? The guy's coming around the bend. If it's the right, whatever, love at first sight, that's rare. Well, though we did have the relationship expert in here, Jennifer. Remember Jenny came in here and talked about, well, not Jenny from the email, but Jennifer came in and talked about how there's one soulmate out there for you. And then you will find that person. You got to keep searching. Well, keep open. Be open to it. Not that you keep searching. And I always believe that you got to do what you do on a normal basis. If you're someone who goes to the reservoir, like I do, great place to meet people. You do the Runyon Canyon. You're walking around. Great place to meet people. You're in the gym. I mean, that's what I like. You got to find someone with mutual interests. But just because you hook up with a guy and it's all there, like a la Demi Moore in About Last Night, could work out. I mean, who knows? You know, what are the probabilities? What's the difference? Enjoy yourself, but be smart. You know, be conscious, be respectful. Don't treat people like you wouldn't want to be treated, especially these guys out there, all right? Don't be a jerk. We talk about that. Don't be a creep either. It's another one of my Get Your Shit Together podcasts, because a lot of guys, especially young guys, I mean, I didn't come into my own until my 40s. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, most of these young guys, they don't have their shit together. Nah, they're just going for the, You know what they're going for. They're just looking to get laid and treat you like shit, especially now. Everybody's partying. Be careful. But if it is the right guy, you're going to know. And a friend of mine always said that to me. He said, you know, you got that little birdie inside. You got to listen to it. So the little birdie's telling you to do it. Got your wits about you. Hopefully you're not wasted. Now you got to booze up to lose your inhibitions. Stay clear. Strong body, clear mind. Got to be doing that all the time. And, enjoy it. There you go. Well, hey, folks, that's our show for today, right? Another cool one. I'm enjoying it. And check us out in the archives. You guys know that on latalkradio.com/Tola Talks or my website. You can find all the details on the advertising. Love to have you on the show. And tune in tomorrow. Special musical guest in the house, Gun Hill Royals. Looking forward to that. A little Veterans Day gig. And there you go. And until then, I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.